looks like Donald Trump. I mean, that... Well, you picked Donald.
Shh. I want y'all to pay close attention to his last time at Calvary.
Well, if that's it, let me preach about 4 hours tonight. Oh, my. I'm glad God's people can have a good time. I was asking him before the church about some political questions, and I said, you know, what do you think, Brother Snyder, about all the women now in politics? He said, that's nothing unusual. Said, Marsha's been the Speaker of the House for 40 years. I may not even make it through this, much less I forget to come back. Oh, my. Boy, God is good, and I'm glad we can have a good time. I go to church every day. Sometimes I go twice a day, and I've been with Brother Sammy Allen, where we went all day and all night and half the next day. And so if you go all the time, enjoy yourself. Amen. The book of Malachi, chapter number 3. Brother Snyder, I love you and thank you for letting me pick on you a little bit. I love him so much, respect him and his wife. And I asked him how old he was. And when he told me, I couldn't believe it. He looks great, I'm telling you. And I look like I've been drugged through a barbed wire fence and put up wet. But my wife's mother's been over a lot, and that's kind of had a lot to do with that. I love Brother T.D. and Sister Joy. They're just a blessing to me. I've been knowing them literally since I was just a teenage boy. And what I love about him, he's got the same Bible. He's got the same Bible. He preaches the same Jesus. Serves the same God. And likes to shout. When you can get a Baptist preacher to shout, you're doing something. And pastor was telling you, I preached in California last night at one of our Bible colleges and got in town. I had to preach a funeral today of a retired Assembly of God pastor in our area. And they asked the Baptist to come and do the funeral. He was a precious brother in Christ. And we out of time over there today. They like me. Don't tell nobody, but I like them too. And we worship the Lord together. Because I'm telling you, the only people that are going to go to heaven are born again. Amen. Blood-washed people. Brother T.D. and I have a mutual hero with the Lord, Brother Mays Jackson. The young man with the old message. And he flew in and out of the airport a lot. And he said one Tuesday, he's getting ready to fly out and he's reading his Bible. And the lady came over there and said, you're reading the Bible. You must be a Christian or a preacher. He said, I am. She said, what kind? He said, saved. She said, I mean, what denomination? He said, I'm a saved Baptist preacher. She said, oh my, are you as bad as the rest of that bunch? He said, I don't know what do you mean? She said, they think they're the only ones going to heaven. He said, no, I'm worse than them. I don't think half of them's going, praise God. Woo! But man, it's good. If you're saved tonight, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you're glad about it, raise both of them. Turn to somebody on your left and say, you look absolutely wonderful tonight. Now turn to somebody on your right and say, you look horrible, brother, but I'm going to be praying for you. Ask an old boy in my church one time. He said, why do you always wait till my wife is on the right before you do that? I said, I just want to see if you got nerve enough to say it. Praise God. Now tomorrow night, you don't want to miss tomorrow night. I want to tell you, one of the preachers is men in Georgia. I'll be here tomorrow night, Dr. Kenny Cockendall. In fact, he wrote that song they sang about the eye of the storm. Brother Kenny's a God's man. Their church in Lawrenceville is just doing great, booming for God. And he's just a fine young man. And even though I'm only 54, I realize I don't have as much time left as I did at one time. And it does my heart good. It does my heart real good. In fact, it does my heart real good to look behind me and see some young fellas coming on, son, that still holding true to the Word of God, still lifting up Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I'm good minded to run to McDonald's and back on one foot. Praising God. God is good. I was preaching in North Carolina the other night, and I was in the country, out in the rural area, and I got happy. I don't know what happened to me. I got over yonder, praise God, where the clover's green. I got about 3 sheets in the wind. God was helping me. And there's a little side door like that that went out to the parking lot. And I just said, I want to tell this whole neighborhood we're in business for God. So then I jerked that door open. I went, whoa! And that was a fellow in the yard beside of the church mowing grass. He fell off the lawnmower and everything. He thought, Lord God, call a straitjacket. Them our fundamentalists have done got crazy on me. But God is good. You know, I don't normally do this, but I just feel like I want to. Can we give the Lord a hand tonight? God is good. I got this friend of mine, and he always finds something different to preach on. And lately he's been preaching against clapping. So just in his memory, I want to do it one more time. Give the Lord. Malachi chapter number 3 tonight. I want to read just a couple of verses. And since this is my last sermon here, I want to make sure I preach a while tonight. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 2, first of all. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like, say this with me now, he is like a refiner's fire. And, say this with me, and like fuller's soap. Refiner's fire and fuller's soap. The Bible said in the next verse, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Look, if you will, tonight in verse number 6, say this first phrase out loud with me. For I am the Lord, I change not. Say that with me again. For I am the Lord, I change not. And he says, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. For the sake of time, come down to one more verse, verse number 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. Say this with me. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. I'm interested tonight up in verse number 6. A wonderful statement that encourages my heart, where God said, I'm the Lord and I change not. And the Lord being our helper, I want to preach for a while tonight from this passage on the unchanging God. And I'm glad tonight to remind you, in a world full of change, God never changes. Why, if you think tonight about God changing, if God could change, what would he change into? He is already holy. He is already perfect. He is already complete. He is already everything that he claimed to be and more. There's nothing for God to change into. Why, you can't go anywhere where God's not already been. And you can't go anywhere where God is not already at. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My daddy said this to me one time about a man that changes. He said it means one or two things. He was always wrong, and then he finally got it right. Therefore, he owes somebody an apology. Or he was always right, and then he went wrong. And if that's the case, he really owes somebody an apology. But can I remind you tonight, the God of this Bible will never have to issue any apologies. Because he's always been right, and he's never been wrong, and he never will be wrong, because he's always right. I'm glad he is the unchanging God. Now, the book of Malachi is the very last book in the Old Testament. And from the last book of the Old Testament to the first book of the New Testament, there are 400 years of prophetic silence. 400 years of spiritual darkness that engulfs planet Earth. Can you imagine living in a world where God says nothing to anybody for 400 years? And so therefore, the book of Malachi are days of darkness. It's days of trouble. It's days of sin. I believe the days of Malachi are pretty much like the days in which we live in. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, brother, we're in a troublesome time. I made a joke about it a while ago. The tragedy is it's not really a joking matter. Our nation tonight is on the verge of collapse in every area of our society. In the days of Malachi, it was dark politically. It was dark morally. It was even dark religiously. And I believe in our day, I don't believe we're in the last days. I don't believe we're in the last months. I don't believe we're in the last weeks. I don't believe we're in the last days. I don't believe we're in the last hours. I don't believe we're in the last minutes. I believe we are in the last seconds. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're standing, glory, on the threshold of the sounding of the trumpet and the mighty coming of Jesus Christ. Because they say the darker the night, the brighter the light. And what we are tonight, we're victims of prophecy. God said it would be this way. God said it's got to be this way. And so I believe we're living in the days like the days of Malachi. But wait a minute, even though it may have been a dark day and a troublesome day and a sinful day, God had a man with a message. And that man with that message was to encourage that little faithful remnant that had been left behind. That little faithful, stubborn bunch that would not bow, that would not bend, that would not give in to the devil and his crowd, in spite of what it looked like, keep on and keep on serving God. By the way, I believe God still has a faithful remnant in our world today. Don't believe the media. Please don't believe the media. Everybody is not a crackpot. Everybody's not a weirdo. Everybody's not a pervert. There's still some Bible-loving, God-fearing people in our country tonight. I believe I'm preaching to a room full of people tonight that still believe God, still believe the Bible. You still believe in doing what's right. We may be few, and we may get fewer, and we might even be faint. But brother, we're faithful. We're still holding to God's unchanging hand. We're still praising the matchless name of our God. We're still worshiping in His house. We're still walking in His light. We're still believing His word. Because the God of that day did not fail them in that day. And can I remind you, the God in this day will not fail you and I in this day. Everything in Malachi's day had changed. Politics had changed. Morals had changed. Laws had changed. Even religion had changed. But in the midst of that changing world, there was an unchanging God that said, I'm the Lord and I change not. I believe tonight we're living in a world of change. I'm just 54 years old and I've seen change in my life like I never dreamed. Can you imagine a man at Brother TD's age, 65 years old, what kind of change he has seen in his life. Man, I'm preaching to old timers tonight. Man, you don't even recognize the neighborhood and the country that you live in. Who would ever thought our nation would be run by the Supreme Court instead of the will of the people? And that outfit better listen to me tonight. They didn't write the law. They didn't write the Bible. And there is a higher judge that they will answer to one day. And his name is Jesus Christ. They can say that life doesn't matter. They can say that an unborn baby doesn't matter. They can try to redefine the fundamentalism of marriage. But I'm here to tell you, they may try to change everything around us. But I want to tell you, there is a God through the Holy Ghost. I'm about to get blessed on my own preaching. That lives in the recesses of our heart. And he said, I want you to know I'm the Lord and I change not. He didn't say I used to be the Lord. He didn't say I'm going to be the Lord. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. And by the way, his name is not Buddha. And its name is not Muhammad. And its name is not Confucius. It's Jehovah. It's Jesus. It's Emmanuel. The rose of Sharon. The lily of the valley. And the bride in the morning star. You say, preacher, that rubs the cat fur the wrong way. We'll turn the cat around and we'll stroke her a lick or two on the other side. I'm glad tonight that my God, he is the Lord. He's enthroned. He's on the throne. He's still in control. He is the unchanging God in the midst of a changing world. In this text tonight, let me give you a threefold portrait of who and what our unchanging God is to us. Number one, look back if you will in verse number 2. He said our unchanging God is like the refiner's fire. He is like the refiner's fire. So write it down tonight. Our unchanging God is a God that refines. You say, now what is so significant about that? Well, do you know what a refiner was in that day? He is a man that would go out into the pits and into the dungeons, and he would dig up precious ore, whether it be gold or copper or silver. And he would go dig up this ore because he wanted to make something valuable and beautiful out of that gold or that copper or that silver. But that gold and that copper and that silver had a serious problem because it came out of the ground. That's under the curse of God. It is filled with flaws and imperfections and impurities. It's got all kinds of stuff in it that could keep it from reaching its full potential. But the refiner's got a plan. And the refiner's got a process. He has a large pot called a crucible. And under that pot, he will build a fire. And he'll get that pot as hot as he can get it. And he'll take that gold or that silver or that copper, and he'll put it down in that pot. And that pot is so hot, it brings the contents to a boil. It boils down and liquefies the gold or the copper or the silver. And as that's happening, a chemical reaction takes place. Those flaws, those imperfections, those impurities, because they are not real, because they do not belong there, they can't take the heat. So the flaws and the imperfections separates itself from the gold and the copper and the silver, and it floats to the top of the pot. In that terminology, it's called dross. It's trash. It's not real. It has no value. You may find a brass knuckle. You may find a silver or a diamond or a gold ring, but you don't sell dross down at Zales Jewelry Store. It has no other purpose than to hinder the value of the real stuff. And that stuff floats to the top of that pot. And then that refiner, he's got a long, sharp knife called a skimmer. And he will skim off the flaws, the impurities, and the imperfection. And then you know what that refiner does? He turns the heat up a little bit more. And he brings it to another boil. And all of that stuff is left. It floats to the top of the pot. And then he takes the skimmer. And he skims it off. And then you'll never believe what he does next. He turns it up a little bit hotter. And boils it up again. And all the stuff that's left floats to the top of the pot. And he takes his skimmer and he skims it off the top. And then you'll never believe what he does then. He turns it up a little bit hotter and boils it up again and skims it off the top. And then you'll never believe what he does then. He turns it up a little bit hotter and boils it up again and skims it off the top. And then you will never believe what he does the next thing. He turns it up a little bit hotter and boils it up again and skims off the top. And then you will never believe what he does then. He turns it up a little bit hotter and boils it up again and skims it off the top. You say, my soul, Brother Joe, how long is he going to do that? Till when he skims it off the last time. And he looks down in that crucible, and that gold or that copper or that silver is so free from flaws and impurities and imperfections that it is so clean and pure, he can look down in that crucible and see himself. When he sees himself in the gold or the silver, he knows a job has been well done. You say, what has that got to do with us? I'm glad you asked. One day I was in a horrible pit. I was in the miry clay. And I couldn't go to where he was. So he came to where I was. And his hand reached further down than I could reach up. And he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. You say, why did he do that? Why did he do that? Because he wants to make something valuable and wonderful and beautiful out of my life. But I got a problem because I come out of the dirt, because I come out of the pit. I have flaws and impurities and imperfections, all kinds of stuff that are keeping me from reaching my full potential. But my refiner has the ability to see what I am, to see what I can become. And so he's got a process. It's called the fiery trials of my faith. And he puts me in that crucible. And he lets me go through the fire. He puts me in the fire. And boy, he starts a boiling and he starts the burning. And all of that junk, all of that dross, all of those imperfections, it starts floating to the top. That's why it looks so bad on the outside, because you can't see the gold that's on the inside. And he skims it off and he puts me through it again. And he skims me off and he puts me through it again. Whoop! And he skims me off, puts me through it again. You say, how long is he going to do it? The Romans 8 has been fulfilled, that when he looks into our life, we'll be so free of flaws and impurities and imperfections. Hey, he'll see himself in us. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I may not look like much tonight, but you wait, the refiner gets through with me. You say, what is God doing in my life? He's burning out of you and me everything that don't act, walk, smell, and talk like Jesus Christ. And when he's finished, we shall be like him. He's the refiner, and he's still working on me. You say, I don't have any flaws. You just lie. All of us have flaws. I've been around a few Baptists that thought they were flawless. And I heard them when they smashed their thumb in the car. You ought to have heard how flawless they were. They said words that Merriam-Webster's dictionary has never recorded. I was getting ready to preach the other day, and you know the church. You and I both have been there repeatedly. A Baptist church, independent Baptist church. What I'm about to tell you wouldn't even happen in a holiness church or Presbyterian church. Only it wouldn't even happen in nothing but an independent Baptist church. I'm standing up here on the front, out here at the altar, right here at the altar. 5 minutes before church starts. And this woman comes up to me, and she's one of them kind of people that's got to get right in your face. And she said, "You recognize me?" I said, "Not your face, baby, but your breath's familiar." Boy, she got in my, she said, "Bless God, I'm Jewish." I said, "Praise the Lord." She said, "Are you going to preach out of the Old Testament?" I said, "I sure am." She said, "I love it." I said, "Good." She said, "I've met you before." I said, "Great." She said, "I'm from Massachusetts." I said, "God bless you." And she said, "You said I was a Yankee one time." And I said, "I don't remember that." "Well, I do." And she cursed me. She cursed me. I mean, she cursed me. I'm talking full-fledged cursed me. Right there at the altar, 5 minutes before church starts. Here's the juicy part. Church starts. She gets up in the choir. She's one of the choir members. The first song they sing is "Jesus Buried My Past." And halfway through the first verse, here she goes, "Whoa! Whoa! Whoa!" Praising God. I said to the guy beside of me, I said, "You see that woman in the choir shouting? She just cussed me out." He said, "Well, I guess she got it out of her system, Joe, and she feels better." Now, I would say she had some flaws. I'm telling you, my wife said, if you wrote it in a book, nobody would believe it. Brother, I pastored the same Baptist church for 31 and a half years of my life. All of us are full of flaws. I've got flaws, you got flaws. Andy Goober Gomer and Laurel Lee Hobbs. If you don't watch Andy Griffith, you didn't get none of that right there. But all of us have flaws. Things that's not like Christ. Things that hinders me from my blessing. Things that hinder me from my anointing. Things that would hinder me from becoming what God wants me to become. But my God, He loves me. In spite of myself, I said He loves me. Though I fail the Lord, hallelujah. Woo! He never fails me. And He puts me through that fire. And He takes me through that fire. And He's a burning all of that out of me. And I may not look like much tonight, but I want to tell you, wait till you see me in my brand new home. I'll have no blemishes. I'll have no spots. I'll have no wrinkles. Praise God. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. He's still working on me. He's still working on you. Let go. Let God. He knows what He's doing in our lives. He is. He is. He is. The refiner. How many of you like me tonight? You like chocolate cake. How many of you like me tonight? You just like cake. How many of you like me tonight? Praise God. You just like food. Amen. And I know thin's in, but fat's where it's at. You know why most skinny people are so mean? They're hungry. They need to eat. I love it. I love it. I've been studying the Old Testament about manna, the Hebrew word manna. What is it? They called it manna. What is it? Because they didn't know what it was. But I know. I found exactly what it is. Well, the theologians say it was round. The theologians said it was sweet to the taste. The theologians said it had a white covering on the top. And the theologians say it was very addictive. My soul, I know what that is. That's a Krispy Kreme donut, honey. Somebody say amen. Right? That's exactly what that is. And I like chocolate cake. But I want to tell you what I don't like. I don't like raw eggs. I don't like raw flour. I don't like raw Crisco. I don't like raw buttermilk. Lord God, if you can drink buttermilk and eat sardines, you invented redneck. Can I get a witness? I don't like chocolate syrup by itself. I don't like none of that by itself. Any one of these ingredients by itself, it's repulsive. It's nauseating. But honey, when a master chef, and here's a good Georgia word right here, when a good master chef gums it, aren't you glad you know what gumming is? In case any Yankees have slipped it among us, when the master chef harmonizes it all together, praise the Lord, amen. Man, I go up north to preach and they say, oh, Brother Arthur, praise the Lord, man. So glad you're here. Praise God, brother. What an awesome man. It's great, man. And then go to Alabama. Hallelujah, glory, that's good right there, brother. God, that's good right there. Praise God. Hallelujah right there, amen. Oh, I don't like all them things by itself. But honey, when the master chef puts it together and works it together, you know what he's doing? He's making cake out of something that's nauseating by itself. And you listen to me, I told somebody this today. If you look at your trial, single-eyed, single vision, if you take it one dose at a time and look at it by itself, it'll make you sick. It is nauseating. But somehow if you just back up and see that God is taking this and taking this and taking that, and he's working it together. He's putting it all together. He's not your enemy. God's not mad at you. God's not punishing you. He's not killing you. He's not making you sick. He's just making some cake out of your life. And you remember this tonight, when it's all said and done, you'll look back and say, he doeth all things well. Amen. I watched your two grandsons at the Smoky Mountain Jubilee this year. If they love their daddy like I love mine, and I'm sure they did, I want to tell you, I know the pain that is in their heart. I got to keep my daddy longer than they got to keep their daddy. My daddy got to hear me preach and be a member of the church I pastor. Their daddy didn't have that opportunity. And Brother T.D., I've seen some other people walk through what your grandboys walk through. They hate God, hate the Bible, wouldn't spit on church. They're all balled up at God. You know them boys have had some lonely days. You know they've had some doubts and fears. But somehow the Holy Ghost has given them that ability. Son, to look beyond how bad that hurt and look beyond how bad that tastes. And I watched one of them preach an awesome sermon. And I watched another one lift his voice and sing for the glory of God. I want to tell you, hell didn't like it, but I did. The devil didn't like it, but I did. I'm telling you tonight, all things work together for good to them that love God. I'm not living by luck. I'm not living by chance. I ain't got some stupid rabbit's foot in my pocket. I got my hand in the unseen hand of God. Excuse me just a minute. Woo! And he never changes. And he never wills. He's got my best interest in mind. He's working on me. He's refining me. I'm in his hand. Lord, I'm enjoying this. He is a God that refines. Man, I had so much fun. I'm going to get me another point. Look in verse number 2. He is not only like the refiner, but in verse number 2, it says he is like the fuller's soap. So write this down tonight. He is not only the God that refines, but number 2 tonight, I love this, he is the God that restores. You say, well, what's so significant about the fuller and the soap? Boy, I'm glad you asked. You know what a fuller was in that day? He was a man's, I've got wrote down on my outline, holler amen and run 2 laps right here. Glory. You know what a fuller was in that day? He is a man whose sole occupation was to take dirty and stained garments and make them clean. We could call recess and shout right there. He took soiled and stained and dirty garments and made them clean. But our text tonight just doesn't refer to the fuller. It specifically says fuller's soap. What did he make the fuller's soap? Now, some of you old timers sitting here tonight literally remembers when your mama, your daddy, or maybe your grandpa, your grandma killed an animal, saved the fat, boiled it in some water, and made some lye soap out of it. You said, what would it do? Anything it needed to do. You said, Brother Arthur, would it take off the dirt? Yep. Hide, skin, hair. Your mama must have used some of that, brother. I mean, right down out of the bone. Bad stuff. We still friends? Hey, I'll show you how to make friends and influence people. Yeah, you too, buddy. God bless you. But that word soap in the King James doesn't refer to that kind of soap. That little Hebrew word soap, boy, I got a hold of this, it blessed me. It refers to a little plant that grew down by the Mediterranean Sea that had a high acid content. And that fuller would go down there and cut down those plants and bring those green plants back to his place. And he would put them in a hot pot of boiling water. And he would boil down those plants much like we would salad in our day. And then he would reach in there with a big spoon and pull out those soft boiled down plants. And he would make a ball out of it. And he would set it out in an open field. And the sun would come out, evaporate the water, and leave a hard ball of pulp. Then he would take his wooden mallet and he would beat, he would pound, he would grind, he would crush that hard ball of pop into small, tiny, white acid type grains, the equivalent of our modern day grainy detergent. That's how he made the soap. Now this process stunk so bad. He was not allowed to do it in the city. He had to go outside of the city to make the cleansing agent. Let me say that one more time. He had to go outside of the city to make the cleansing agent. One more time. He had to go outside of the city to make the cleansing agent. That place was called the Fuller's Field. Seven times in the King James Bible, you'll find that phrase, Fuller's Field, Fuller's Field. He would make his soap outside of the city because what literally was an offensive, terrible smell to everybody else was the sweet smell of success to the fuller. I'm going somewhere. Hold on. And he would take that little soap. Then he would take that garment that was stained. And when I got to this part, I lost it. He would take the garment that was stained and lay it on a rock. He would take the garment that was stained and lay it on the rock. The greatest day in the life of the soiled and stained garment is when it got laid on the rock. And while the fuller had it on the rock, he would get his soap. He would get his detergent. He would get his little acid, little grains of sand-like stuff and put it with his hand and massage it and knead it into that garment. And as that little acid grains is going down into the fibers, a chemical reaction takes place. The little grains of soap go deeper than the stain. The cleansing agent goes deeper than the stain. Woo! The cleansing agent
literally gets between the stain and the garment. It literally gets up under the stain, between the stain and the garment. It breaks the hole the stain has on the garment. It lifts the stain up away from the garment. And if that fuller, watch this now, and if that fuller kept that process up long enough, the garment would not just be clean, but if he kept it up long enough, it would make it white. And not just white, but whiter than snow. Well, glory, I'm going somewhere. Did you know the word fuller is mentioned over and over again in the Old Testament? But it's only mentioned one time only in the New Testament. You'll never believe where that is. In Matthew, John, and Luke 17, when Jesus is on the Mount Transfiguration, and he's transfigured before them. You say, what does that mean? Real quickly, that means he stood before them in a glorified body like he's going to stand before us when we see him in heaven. Whew. And I love the integrity of Scripture. God, let every one of them gospel writers tell it like they saw it. Hey, what did you see, brother? He said, man, I was standing there, and when he was transfigured before us, his garments was glistening like the sun in all of its strength. And I want to say, I guess it was. He is the Son of Righteousness. Hey, brother, what did you see? He said, oh, Joe, I was standing there when he was transfigured. And he said, I can't explain it. But when it was all said and done, he stood before us. And listen to this. He said, his garments was glistening white. And he made this statement. And it was not just white, but whiter than any fuller could make it. The only time the word fuller is mentioned in the New Testament, it's mentioned in relationship to the garments of Christ and the splendor of Christ and the majesty of Christ. You say, what has that got to do with us? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Jesus grew up before us like a tender plant, but he was cut down out of the land of the living. He was born in God's wrath upon Calvary. He was beaten and wounded and pierced, but the sun came up and he arose out of that grave. And one day he took our dirty life to the rock, praise God, and massaged in our dirty garments the cleansing agent of his blood, of his mercy, of his grace. And tonight we're not just clean, but when God looks at us, we're shining like him. For he doesn't see our past and he doesn't see our shame. He sees us dressed up in the robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the day that the fuller took me to the rock and he washed me whiter than snow. Hallelujah, what a God tonight. Woo! What a God who restores. Someone said, Brother Joe, what's some of the greatest days of your life? Well, I can tell you this, getting married was awesome. If you ever seen my wife, you know why I'm so happy. I'm living proof that you can marry way above your pay grade. I'm not by myself, boys. There's several men here that are living proof. You may be ugly, but you ain't got to marry it. Glory. I mean, if you're going to commit to life or something, make it good. Having children, awesome. I've heard preachers say, I'm not a family man, but I wouldn't brag on that. God instituted that before he did the church. I love my kids. Now, I got to make this announcement. I don't know if you've heard or not. Well, glory. I'm going to be a pawpaw. And buddy, I've seen all your pictures. You're going to have to look at mine. Well, I'm going to warn you, TD. You had a wallet full. I've got an iPad full. My son's wife, brown July, the Lord willing, is going to bless our home with a little girl. I feel sorry for her. Nobody to love it. It probably won't have much.
I've already got her a pink BB gun laid away and a pink 38. And I've made a couple of payments on a pink Mustang. We're going to have a time, son. Son. Boy, I'm just telling you. You know what grandkids are, brother? They tell me it's God's reward for you not killing your own kids.
Amen.
Our friend, Brother Aaron Wilburn, I love him. He wrote that brand new song, Blessed Tail Lights. I said, Aaron, is that a Christian song? He said, I don't know if it's Christian or not. He said, but my grandkids has been there all day, and their daddy comes to get them, and I see them blessed tail lights. That's what I wrote that song about. Boy, being a daddy's awesome. Being a pawpaw's got to be more awesome than that. I've had some wonderful days in my life. But you want to know what my greatest thrill is tonight? To be able to stand in pulpits like this all across America and tell a congregation of people that I don't even know, don't know your name, don't know where most of you're from, don't know what you've been in here before you got in here. But it's a thrill for me to be able to stand before you tonight and say, no matter where you've been and how far you've been gone, and how deep you've gone in it. Thank God I'm glad there's the rock of ages. And there's a cleansing agent. And this sun, hallelujah tonight. Amen, glory. This unchanging God can wash your sins away. And give you a new lease on life. And make you whiter than snow. I'm glad he's a God that refines. And I'm glad he's a God that restores. Hallelujah, what a God tonight. Hallelujah, what a God. Man, one more point and I'll be done. Verse number 16. He's not on the God that refines. He's not on the God that restores. But man, I love verse number 16. God said, I got a book of remembrance. And them people that's been praising me and thinking about me, I've wrote them down in my book of remembrance. Can I say tonight, he's not only the God that restores, he's not only the God that refines, but I'm glad our unchanging God is the God that remembers. I'm glad he hasn't forgot about me. And guess what? He's not forgot about you either. Malachi is writing to this faithful remnant. They've been trying to hold true. They've been trying to stand fast. And the world's forgotten them. And the political system's forgotten them. And the economical world has forgotten them. But I want to tell you, he reminds them that God has not forgot. He's got them wrote down in a book of remembrance. Let me just say this tonight to the church of the living God. The Supreme Court may forget us. Osama, Obama, and your mama may forget us. But there is a God in the glory world who will not forget. He will not forget. He remembers us. And praise God, my name is in the book of remembrance. Woo! You say, how do you know? My name has written there. And I'm glad, bless God, the devil can't hit the delete button. And he can't white it out. Because it's done been readied in. You're going to get that in a minute. He can't white it out. Because it's been readied in. Lord, I wish I could sing. I'd break out right there a little bit. My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless be the name of Jesus. I'll rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. While others climb through worldly strife to carve a name of honor. Whoop! High up in heaven's book of life, I know my name is there. He didn't make the radio. He didn't make the TV. He didn't make the newspaper. That hour I trusted Christ. But hallelujah, it made news in heaven when God wrote my name in that book. And he's not forgotten me. He's a God that will remember. He's a God that will remember. Brother T.D., you remember my friend, Brother Lance Carpenter, that sang at the camp meetings. I wish you could have met Brother Lance. Brother Lance was an old guitar-picking country boy. And I tell you how far he goes back. Him and a guy named Willie Nelson. Old Willie showed up at Nashville the same day to start recording. 1971, Lance is in a drunken stupor. He's doped out of his mind. And he wraps a Porsche around an oak tree, burst every bone in his face. He almost died and went to hell. When he was recovering from that automobile wreck, he went down to Kissimmee, Florida to live with his mama and daddy. And she said, Lance, Lock Haven Baptist Church is up here. Them people's been praying for you. He said, Mama, if I go in that church, the roof will fall in. She said, let's see if it will. Mama, if I go in that church, they're going to be making fun of me. She said, I done told you, they're praying for you. And so that Sunday morning, that little walker, face all bursted up. He walked in and sat down on back. And praise God, that old preacher got up and preached Christ. Amen. Preached the cross. Can I tell you, that still works. Amen. Just preach Christ and the cross. He said, they begin to sing, just as I am. And he said, I remember pushing that walker, taking little baby steps. And he said, I'm going down to the front. He said, I could tell every time I'd walk by a pew, somebody would go, ooh, ooh. I like it, don't you? He said, by the time he got to the front, the whole church was on their feet clapping. And by the way, it ought to bless us when an old sinner steps from the bottom to the top. He got saved that day and became a guitar picker and a singer for Jesus. Amen. Several years ago, he came to my motel room with that 12 string. He said, Joe, I believe I'm on to something. Listen to this little melody. Listen to these lyrics. And he started singing, I have not forgotten God's only begotten and the price that he paid for my sin.
Amen.
Woo! I said, I think he got something. We pitched it to the Inspirations. They recorded it. And that particular year, it was number one. I have not forgotten God's only begotten. I'm about to run right there.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Aren't you glad, brother? He is a God who will remember us. Watch this. About 2 years after he wrote that song, he come to me one day. He said, Joe, I want to sing you some more lyrics I got. He said, I went to the doctor yesterday and said, there was a nurse in there. And she said, sir, aren't you a Christian songwriter? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, let me tell you what happened in here yesterday. You might can use this. He said, there was an old man in here. And said, I was taking stitches out of his finger. And so I could tell he was real antsy and nervous. And I said, sir, what's your hurry? He said, oh, he said, I got to hurry and get to the nursing home over here. My wife's over there. And I eat dinner with her every day. That nurse said, oh boy, that's nice, sir. I bet she enjoys seeing you come. He said, well, not really. He said, she's in the last stages of Alzheimer's and she don't even know I'm there. And that little nurse said to that old man, well, sir, if she don't know you're there, why do you still go? And that old man said, honey, she may not remember me, but I remember her. I'm going to run again right here. And she said, sir, I thought you would be able to use that. He said, I think I'll use it right now. He said, Joe, I run out to that van and I got out my pen and paper as soon as I could. And he said, this is my last song. And it was the last song he wrote before he got Alzheimer's himself. Tonight he lives in Lake Wells, Florida. He can't play his guitar and he can't sing. He walks around like a zombie. Sometimes he knows me, sometimes he don't. But the very last song he blessed the body of Christ was this. And should the day come when I can't remember him, he will remember me. I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I know his sweet face I see. And should the day come when I can't remember him, Lord God, I wish I was over there in that Assembly of God church. They'd be shouting. Hey, he said, should the day come when I can't remember him, he will remember me. He will remember. Honey, honey. Woo! I called him the other day. I said, Lance, you may not know who I am. It don't matter who I am. But the Holy Ghost just called, told me to call you and tell you. He remembers. He remembers. He remembers. And I'm telling you, when you come down the last mile of the way to cross old Chile Jordan, standing somewhere in the... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Standing somewhere in the shadows is the unchanging God. Whoop! Who will remember? He has not forgot about you. And he never will. Because he's the unchanging God. He restores. He refines. He remembers. I love your song leader. I told the preacher a while ago, I said, that song leader right there is for real. He said, he's a good man. I ain't bragging on you, brother, but I believe you are a good man. I do. I love you. I sense Jesus in you. I like you. I hope that makes up for the bad thing I said about you a while ago. I love him. He's good at it. I love to watch people lead singing. I love the different ways people do it. I was in a meeting in Virginia, not far from where you used to live, and this old boy was leading singing, and all he did just held his hand up like that and sung Victory in Jesus. That's all he did, just... like he's milking an old Jersey cow. Victory, whole song. But he did the best he could. I was in one of them highfalutin places not long ago, and this old guy, he's leading the ocean. Looked like to me an ocean full of people. He was leading them. And I mean, son, he was a wave, and I thought he was directing airline traffic. I didn't know what that boy. And they were doing that great hymn of the faith, When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder. Man, he had them singing. Boy, they were bass clipping and treff clipping and pausing and oohing. I mean, it was awesome. Man, I mean, it was great. Man, he had that thing way up there. And when the roll is called up yonder, that means y'all stop right there. Then he finished it like this. I've never seen nothing like it in my life. He finished it. He said, and when the roll is called up yonder, he did just like this. I couldn't believe it. He said, I'll be there. Don't do that. I jumped up and I said, brother, I don't know anything about leading music, but I can tell you this, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll not be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I'll be there because he is the unchanging God. Hallelujah. And on my way to my seat, let me just tell you this in passing. You can serve a God like that. You can trust a God like that. You can live for a God like that. Amen. He's the unchanging God. Our Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your steadfastness. Great is thy faithfulness. Thou art worthy, O Lord, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
We're going to sing in just sing for us in just a second. Let me ask you this, with your head bowed. Nobody looking around, please, and everybody just please be still for a second. He is an unchanging God. What a message for us to know. We can rest in that. But maybe you've changed. Maybe where you used to be in your walk with God has changed. Maybe your desire to serve God, maybe that has changed a little. Maybe your desire, maybe your ability to hear from Him, maybe your desire to hear from Him has changed. While they